It's time for the Chuck and Buck Show.
What?
Oh, you guys are crewing up?
Let's do this.
Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 karat magic in the air.
Happy Friday. It is Ashley in for Chuck with Buck and Durs here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Yeah, we're going to get into that conversation later. Don't you worry about
all right.
It, Durs. Yeah, I have a lot to say to you about this. I don't know about you guys, but I am pumped up this morning. And it could be the appetite suppressant pills that I'm on that I take at 4:30 in the morning and just have me jacked through the roof right now.
That's probably part of it.
It's definitely part of it. But it's also a lot to do with last night's Mariners win, right?
Booyah. Undefeated.
Last night's Kraken win.
Booyah.
Right? Magic number down to 9 for the Kraken, guys. Don't get too excited about it, but get excited about it.
Pretty excited about it.
I'm pretty excited about it, too. Yeah. We're going to talk a lot about that. But I think we got to start out because I have a lot of questions for you guys after last night's Mariners game. First off, Bucky, you were there?
Yeah.
In the stands?
Yep.
Durs, you were there in the press box?
Yes.
Okay. So, from a fan standpoint, Bucky, how did opening night go?
I don't think you could have nailed it any better than they did.
Okay, good.
I mean, I went earlier than I normally do. But it was because brought the fam, right? Wife and both kids. And Gracie usually goes to bed at 7:30.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, let's go in early. You know, they went to the playground and played. And then we got the caramel corn or
okay.
Kettle corn.
Yeah, kettle corn.
Kettle corn. So they could sit and crush that, a little licorice rope. Just kind of made it more like for them. And then because the pitch clock, I thought we were going to get to watch like 2 or 3 innings before we had to go. We watched 6 innings before we had to bolt out of there. But the actual pageantry behind it, I mean, we've seen the magenta carpet and whatnot before. But the first pitch, bringing out a superstar from every team Seattle was awesome.
Awesome.
Beast mode, I thought it was going to be worse, but his was the only one that bounced there. I thought somebody was going to kill somebody. I thought they were going to throw them all at the same time.
I did, too.
Pitches.
I did, too.
And I'm like, don't do that, because literally we're going to have like Ty France and Julio on the DL and two folks cross their first pitches. But, I mean, just overall, they nailed it. They did their best to capture last year's energy that we had kind of coming out of the playoffs and whatnot, and they kind of captured it. I had goosebumps multiple times.
Okay, good.
Not shocked to tell you that.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's the thing, and that's how we kind of measure its success, right? If you are goosebumpless, then it was a big fail.
Yeah, so for sure it would be.
So
it doesn't take a lot to get me goosebumps.
It doesn't. I mean, it just has to be sports related, really.
Well,
mostly.
It has to hit my feels a little bit.
Baseball related, especially.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot to be. to get me in the feels, and they did it. I mean, multiple times there was a ton about it. I mean, Julio, when they announced everybody, right? They announced the bench folks and let them run out too. But then starting off with Julio, and I posted something on Twitter of his whole thing, and I mean, he comes out and the roar of the crowd and then him being fired up, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be so fun.
And gotta just point out the like teal or like mint green sleeves that him and Gino were wearing. Love that. It's such a great accent because I mean, Julio always wears the sleeve, and it's always different colors and kind of as an expression, but I loved that they had one that actually matched the uniform last night.
Yeah, versus the flower one from last year.
Yeah, big fan of this one.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it as well. I like when folks match when it's a uniform, since the word uniform means kind of we all do the same thing.
Who knew?
That said, Julio kind of gets a pass. Like, he can wear kind of whatever he wants. Just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, even though he didn't get a knock last night, he still had good swings, and he is going to be so fun to watch for the next, rest of his career.
Yeah.
Oh, sign me up for that.
It was interesting because listening to it or watching it on TV, when Julio came out, I said to Mark, I was like, I almost expected it to be louder. Was it just that it didn't translate onto the TV how loud it was, or were there not a lot of people there right at that part?
No, there was a lot of people there.
Okay.
And it was loud. It was definitely louder than everybody else's. And I would say it was loud. I mean, the crowd was pretty fired up. I mean, it's,
you know,
the electric factor. I didn't know for sure if I was going to buy into that whole thing last year when Kmart and crew were kind of throwing that out there. And yet the team has bought into it. The team recognizes that this fan base does get fired up when you give them something to be fired up about.
Yeah.
Last year they did. This year you're kind of trying to ride that momentum. They figured out a way to do it. It was loud. It was, I mean, sure, it can be louder. It will be louder.
I mean, it was louder in the eighth inning, that's for sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that got loud when he's one of your favorites, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's on my list of the people I hate. Yeah.
Yes.
Tight pants. Karinchak is his new name.
He got even tighter pants.
Yeah. I mean, at what point are they too tight?
I don't know. See, I'm one that I have a hard time criticizing tight pants because I wore tight pants most of my career. Not because I thought it was cool.
But because
because that was the biggest ones they had.
Right. But he's doing it because, Mark said, is he trying to be like Ricky Vaughn?
I think he would like to.
Because he's got the number 99. He's got the tight pants.
Throws it to the backstop.
Yeah. Yeah. Is a total jerk. I don't really know if he is, but he just always gives me that
impression.
Definitely
seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, I told, when we were watching last night, I said, this is the reason right here, Karinchak, that I'm glad we have a pitch clock. Because he took so long. That's what drove me crazy about him. And then just to see him completely fall apart with the pitch clock was really hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole pitch clock thing. Not one game in, not a fan at this point.
Okay, well, we're going to talk a lot about that because I actually am in agreement with you on that as well. Okay, so Durs, you were in the press box.
Yeah.
Was the press box buzzing? Could you feel like the energy? Because obviously in the press box, you can't cheer, you can't do all these things, but you can tell when there's like a different feeling.
Yeah, it's hard to really capture the full vibe of like the fandom that you know everyone has as they're watching every single Mariner game, but it definitely felt almost similar to the playoff atmosphere from the game we had last year.
Okay,
which was really really cool because they were just kind of really paying attention to every pitch, making sure like everything was marked down in their notes or everything. Mm-hmm. But you could tell Luis Castillo was wowing some people with his stuff last night. It was insane. He had an insane night. And I think to your point about the noise,
yeah,
I think that it was so loud for everything else that like it wasn't like didn't seem that much different when Julio came
okay.
up. That it was hard to really compare because everyone was just vibing the entire time. So it was awesome. It was such a fun night, honestly.
Okay, good. That makes sense. Yeah, it was a sellout, 45,200 and something.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tonight's not a sellout, as far as I know. So if you want to get in on the energy, you can still go tonight. And I believe, like, tickets aren't that expensive if you just want to get in the ballpark. Obviously, right. If you want to sit in really good seats, then you're going to pay for it. But tomorrow night's sold out, and I think Sunday's still available. So opening weekend is kind of a big deal, especially on a season that's this hyped. So, I mean, I personally, I can't go, but I would recommend that you all do.
Right.
Not you guys, you two, but anyone that's listening here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that's my lesson for the day.
I'm going to try to get back down there. It was fun. You can tell this squad, you can tell the city has turned on for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. They've been fiending for playoff baseball and finally got that. And then you got that team back plus a few additions. And I mean, the pitching staff, we're going to dive into this game, I'm sure, amongst other things, but this pitching staff showed up and did exactly what I think is going to carry them to the promised land. I mean, you basically had that and a couple, mistakes by Karinchak and then Ty France kind of capitalizes on it. You have enough offense to win it. And the pitching staff just goes out there and absolutely shoves it. There's an excitement level to it, and yet I was just kind of sitting there thinking to myself, I wonder if more people are concerned about the lack of offense, right? I mean, you have a lot of fans that just want to nitpick on the negative stuff.
Right.
And yet it was just kind of one of those two good pitchers going out there figuring out a way to get it done. One more dominant than the other, but Bieber still found a way when we would get runners in score position to not allow us to kind of push one across, and yet we still came out on top. So to me, we couldn't have actually opened it any better. If we would have went out there and won 8-4,
yeah,
I wouldn't feel any better about it than I did the way that they did go out and win. So it was good. It was a fun game.
Yeah, and that's good to point out too, because I mean they did get hits. It was just that they couldn't capitalize when they had people on base. And I never was stressed out about that watching it. All I thought was, are the Guardians going to get lucky at some point and they're gonna get one run and that's how this is gonna end? And then I would have been pissed.
Yeah, same here. Because a lot of people were going down. I wasn't going to let my mind go into the scoreless innings tacked on to the back of the 18 inning scoreless thing.
That was another topic of discussion in the press box.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, because it was 30 innings.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to allow that to enter my mind because that's last year. You can't tack that on. But I know. You're right. If we had not scored, if Ty didn't, you know, hit that one out, and then all of a sudden they push one across and you lose and you get shut out, it most certainly would be a topic.
Yeah. I was incredibly impressed with Luis Castillo. It was a little scary, obviously, a scary moment when he took the ball off his ponytail. Thank God he has all that hair and it's all bunched up in the back of his head.
It's a safety precaution that he does.
Yeah, I didn't know he was doing that for safety, but smart.
It is very smart, and I think we were not giving him enough credit for his forward thinking.
No. Although I would just try to tell him, probably stop trying. Like, don't try to catch a lot of comebackers with your head.
Yeah, that's probably a smarter way to do it. I would agree.
Just word to the wise.
Okay. I think that's why you have a glove.
Yep. It's
okay. That makes sense.
It usually will hurt less.
Got it.
Now, if you can just every time take it right off the ponytail, right off the dreads, then I guess go ahead and try it. But I would prefer you use your glove.
It's also probably harder to field it when you don't know, like, how it's going to come off the ponytail.
Yeah, I mean, JP's won a gold glove, but he hasn't fielded a lot of balls off a ponytail.
No, it makes it more difficult.
Yeah. Well, it puts weird spin on it.
So you guys might have seen this yesterday. Softy sent out a tweet and said that no adult, basically, should ever refer to the Mariners as the Nurs.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Me too. You know who doesn't agree?
Who?
Durs over there.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I've been referring to them as the Nurs since I was in high school. And
really?
Like all my friends have, yeah.
No. Well.
And how old are you?
12.
25.
Okay, see, he's still under 30, though. So I guess, didn't Softy say, like, no one over 30? No one,
Did he say adult?
I didn't read that whole part.
I can't remember what he said.
I don't remember what he said. What I took it as, no one in the world should ever call them the Nurs.
And that's how I took it as well. But I guess to be 100% correct in what he said, I will scroll through here to his Twitter where he said it. No one regardless. Oh, yeah. No, never mind. Regardless of age or occupation will refer to either on social media or in person the Mariners as the Nurs for the duration of the 2023 MLB season and into eternity. Retweet if you agree. 403 people retweeted it. That's it. But 770 liked it, so they might not have understood the instructions.
Right. Well, that's a shocker. But, I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, first of all, around here, doesn't Nurs sound like, look like, act like the Niners?
Yes. That's all I think of is
that's
the Niners.
Definitely not how I think of it. Maybe it's just because, like, I shorten everything with my friends and stuff.
How about M's, like, then?
Yeah.
Like, everybody in the world has called them for 40-plus years. The M's.
I don't know.
Shorter.
Yeah. It's one syllable each time, so you're saying the same amount of
But one's right and the other's wrong.
And M's sounds better than Ners.
See, I don't even know. It kind of became a thing in my circles, and then I always was like, oh, my name's Durs, so, like, I like the Ners. And then
that happened.
Was kind of a thing that was easy for me to pick up on.
So. Did your friends start calling you Durs because of Workaholics?
Yes.
Okay. That was my other my other thought when I was like, well, obviously Durs. And then when he was like, yes, and then now saying it, I didn't realize that he's has been called Durs. Do you watch? Have you watched Workaholics?
No.
Okay. Well, on Durs, one of the characters, they call him Durs.
Okay.
So now it's all coming around. I'm understanding more and more. I still don't support it though.
Yeah. I mean, and I will give you guys this. It's not like I call the Sounders the Durs.
Well, why not?
Why not?
Because it's my name.
It sounds
at the same
dumb.
Time.
No, now you need to call them the Durs.
Okay. All right, I'll start doing that.
Okay, that's the only way you're allowed to call the Mariners the Nurs.
Fair enough.
You call the Sounders the Durs.
All right.
Yeah, and the Orm?
The Orm?
Or,
well, they're already the one Orm. Syllable, so yeah, you don't need to shorten it.
When you said that, I was like,
sure?
The Orm?
Yeah. How about the Ox?
The Hawks?
No, yeah. Ox. Just take the H off.
Just shorten
Ox.
It to O-X.
Yeah.
Yeah, just Ox.
Well, it's you want to do it in the most, I don't know. I guess M's is another way to shorten it. I don't not call them the M's either, but I call them both.
When we get the Sonics back, just call them the Knicks. It's fine. There's not another team.
Oh,
with that name.
that's where it will get tough.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. It's totally different. I mean, you don't spell it with a K-N and all that. Yeah, I know. I think you should just do it. Great idea.
I will say, though, that's my issue with it, I think. More than I don't really care if you call them the Nurs. It just isn't something I've never thought of, but it just reminds me of the Niners. And then I feel like people are supporting the Niners. And every time I see someone write it, I think, what? Why is this person? What does the Niners have to do with this?
Yeah.
And I get really confused. See, and that's probably a me problem.
Well, and honestly, I didn't even think about the Niners, Nurs, you know, similarity until you guys just brought it up now. Like, it just popped into my head that it's
what?
Incredibly similar.
Well, I hope from now on that that's all you think of, and then you stop calling the Mariners the Nurs.
Well, yeah. We'll see what happens.
And only call the Sounders the
Nurs. I don't know how that can just pop into your head. I mean, honest to God, it was, I thought for certain the first time that I saw somebody write it, I was like, Niners? What are they doing with the Niners? And
thank you.
It just doesn't sound right.
It doesn't.
It does. It's just not right. You don't have to be different just because you're young.
You know what?
It's okay to follow in the footsteps of your elders.
Also, Mariners. To some degree. Mariners, Kevin Martinez, if you're listening, please don't embrace the Nurs. Don't do it.
He won't. He's far too smart for that.
I think so, too. But you never know.
You never
Pressure
know.
Can be a hell of a drug.
I feel like it's pretty polarizing enough to where not enough of the fan base really fully agrees on it, as we okay. have pointed out today. So
yeah, as we have pointed out right here today. Speaking of the Durs, though, they got a big match tomorrow. Is that
yes.
right? While we have you here, we should probably get some information on the Durs.
Yeah, yeah. So they're heading down to L.A., I think, to play the Galaxy.
Okay.
So they just played LAFC, so we're kind of taking the L.A. tour.
So L.A. has two teams in like basically in everything. Is that just their new rule?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's New York actually has two teams, too, kind of similar.
Well, oh, the big cities.
Yeah, I know. We're not big enough to have two teams, I guess.
We're a tiny town.
Yeah. But, no, the Sounders are having a pretty good start to the season. I think the first two games were very, very, like, okay, this team's back sort of thing after a little bit of a strugglesome regular season last year. And then, you know, a tough loss in Cincinnati, who's also a good team. And then, you know, LAFC is supposed to be probably the best team in the league. And we okay. ended up, you know, having a scoreless draw against them.
Yes.
Which, you know, is not the worst result in the world, but Schmetzer was not necessarily the happiest of managers after that game. So
I can understand that.
Yeah. I think, you know, this will be a good kind of determinant in how, you know, good this team really is after the first few games of the season.
Okay, good. All right. Well, hopefully they, so Galaxy tomorrow.
Yes.
Galaxy tomorrow.
Axie. Yeah, the Axie.
The Axie.
Like the Axie.
That's still two syllables.
Yeah, the Z.
Yeah, I, whatever. Can
the
you
gals.
Tell me real quick, is there a tournament that's more important during the season this year than the regular season?
So there is a play-in tournament, but it's not. It depends on how you look at it. This kind of happens in European soccer, too, where they play multiple different competitions at the same time. But they only have, like, one regular league season. And then, like, in the middle of that season, in between the games, because we only play, like, once every week now, mm-hmm. They play other competitions. So this will be when we play against teams from USA and Mexico.
Okay.
It's not the Champions League either, which is kind of confusing. I know it can be because the Champions...
No, not confusing at all.
I'm like, wait, is that CONCACAF?
No, it isn't because, yeah.
Okay.
It's actually all the teams from just USA and Mexico, and the CONCACAF Champions League only takes the top teams from all of North and Central America,
okay.
So Honduras and
okay.
like El Salvador and like Haiti and all those
okay.
small
Got
countries,
it.
But it's like only the top teams from each of those leagues. But all the teams from just USA and Mexico will be playing against each other in this tournament.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about cheering for Argentina in this tournament.
No, yeah.
Okay. And Jordan Morris is on pace for what, like 77 goals?
He's on fire.
A million?
He's playing really, really well. It's great to see, honestly. And he didn't get the call up to the national team this past go-around. So
think
I think
that lit a fire under his butt?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he definitely is looking to kind of prove that he deserves to be there. So
nice.
We'll
okay.
see if he can keep it up this weekend.
All right. And Jackson Feltz is going down there for the broadcast. So
he's pretty
Ooh.
Hyped.
Yeah, I would be too. Yeah. See, he's a big deal now.
Yeah.
That Jackson Feltz.
Moving on up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before I continue with anything else, we should probably find out what is on tap.
Don't go away just yet.
It's time for What's on Tap, brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass in Renton. It's always 420 at Buddy's. Now with What's on Tap.
How about this?
Here's Chuck and Buck.
Okay, it is Ashley Ryan in for Chuck. He is on his way to Kansas City. Well, not yet, but will be soon for an like annual tradition with his buddies. It's what I always like to do. Oh, girls' trip to Kansas City. Woo.
Yeah, what? Of all places?
it's
so
their tradition. I guess a bunch of them still live there. So it does make sense. But I am in for Chuck. We've got Bucky, of course, and then Durs over there running things behind the glass. Last night, Mariners win, Kraken win. It was pretty crazy to see both games end within like 5 minutes of each other, because the Mariners game was only 2 hours and 14 minutes. Kraken game is always around the same time. And so that was pretty fun. Two wins, two big wins. There's a lot going on in Seattle sports right now. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to watch the Kraken game because I was at the Mariner game and then driving home, right, as and speeding, because I was like, I kind of want to see the end of this. I want to see Andrés Muñoz. I figured that they were going to bring him in. They did, and so I wanted to see him kind of shove it. We saw him. I saw him over at – he came over to talk to – was
Ian
it?
Ian Furness. Ian,
fantastic interview, by the way.
Was it?
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah, yes. I listened to it, yeah.
Yeah, he came over, and then right afterwards I saw Johnny. I call him Johnny.
Okay.
Mr. Stanton.
Yeah, yeah.
He, by the way, said, you know, there's only one other person that calls me Johnny. And I said, your mom? And he says, no, Julio.
Oh.
So Julio and I are a lot alike.
Yeah, you're basically the same person.
Pretty much the same. We're basically the same. You're right. But it was just all the way around. I wanted to watch it, and yet the Kraken game, when I got home, it was like, okay, I got to watch this, because I checked the score, saw that the Kraken were whooping that ass.
Yeah, they were.
I didn't need to watch that blowout. I listened to it a little bit on the way back out to the Valley, and so it was great to hear Fitzy and DT calling a game that I think – Tomlinson actually nailed the score. I think he said, I figure we'll probably win this one 4-1.
Yeah.
Like, you're really smart.
Yeah, he's a psychic. Sometimes.
He does that hockey thing real well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear me call the Mariners were going to win 3-0 with a tie run?
No.
Yeah, it's because I didn't.
Yeah.
So I'm not as good as DT, yeah. But that's all good.
That's all right. That's all right. We are going to talk more Kraken today around 8:30, and then we are going to be joined by Kraken star Daniel Sprong, the Spronger.
Ding dong Sprong.
Ding dong Daniel Sprong at 9:30. We haven't had a chance really on this show to get any reactions or expectations from the Mariners for the Mariners from our coworkers. So we're going to have Softy join us at 7:30. He's going to give us his opening day experience, talk about what he thinks is going to or hopes to happen this season. We're going to have Puckett join us at 9. Same kind of conversation. We also might get in a little Masters talk because that starts next week.
There we go.
I know, right? Yeah. It's pretty exciting.
You mean the Stirs?
The Stirs.
It's my favorite tournament, the Stirs.
The Stirs. We might have a booze news. It just depends on if I can get it done or not. But again,
we'll just drink.
Yeah, we might just drink.
There you go.
And talk for 5 minutes.
That's awesome. Kind of booze news.
Yeah, I think that sounds really great.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to introduce something new to you guys next. It is going to be called, or it is called, The Mariners, The Morning After. So we're going to kind of do a little recap of last night. It's like our Morning After post-game show. That's coming up next right here on 93.3 KJR FM.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the Final Four.
The Final Four.
Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
The Final Four. It's Ty France. Opportunity right here. Two speedy runners. One out. Ty to right field. Chasing Brennan back. Look at him. It's gone. Ty France gives the Bears a 3-0 lead. Yes, indeed. Ty France doing
Well, that's the big hit they needed. For Ty, that's his third hit in the ballgame.
You know what that means, Bucky?
I know what it means for you and Charles. Be-de-de-de. Does Durs know about scatting?
I know about it. I'm not good at it.
You don't have to be good at it. You just have to do it. Oh, look at him.
There you go. A little Dirt. Team scat there.
Yeah, otherwise you would have left Ash hanging. Because I cannot scat. I cannot premature scat.
Really?
No.
Because you cannot clinch a playoff spot on day one, apparently.
It's pretty tough.
But brand new information here from Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Write it down.
Write that down. Can't win the championship on day one.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Trending-wise, if you don't give up a run the entire year, you will win it all.
Probably win it all, yeah. No, you will. You're right. Yeah, you will. Uh-huh. See, we got a text from somebody who thinks that we haven't done any analysis because we talked about Karinchak's tight pants and Gino and Julio's sleeve.
Uh-huh.
Because all I know is uniforms. So there you go, sir. some solid analysis right there.
Yeah.
You cannot win the season on day one.
Right.
But if you don't give up a run, you'll win it all.
It's a good name pronunciation analysis.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what that guy's asking for.
Yeah, seriously. You want like real information? This season we are introducing a brand new segment. This is called Mariners the Morning After. So basically you used to do it's just like it sounds. You used to do baseball's best postgame show. And we were trying to figure out like how could we carry baseball's best postgame show into our morning show.
Yeah.
And so to start things off, we're going to kind of get a feel. We'll see how much it grows, what we do. But every morning after a Mariners game, we will, it's the morning after. So you might need a pill. You might not. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You're either going to do the walk of shame or like last night, walk of fame.
Yeah. And we are walk of faming today. That is for sure. You heard that Ty France highlight. He was he hit the game winner, the 3-run home run in the 8th inning. But really, the story last night had to be the pitching because we got hits, we didn't capitalize on it. Luis Castillo goes 6 innings, had 6 strikeouts, gave up 1 hit.
Yeah.
The 3 relievers that come in after him just all crushed it. And the pitching was the story going into this season. So it shouldn't be a surprise, but I think it still was a surprise to some people, Bucky.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can expect good things, and yet you're still going against big league hitters, right? You're still going against, and so Luis Castillo goes out there, goes 3-0 to the first hitter, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, let's go. Pump one in there, get a strike, let's go, and comes back and just absolutely mows the guys down. This team is going to ride or die with the pitching staff. I mean, there's a long ways to go, obviously. I don't think we're even close to starting to count the magic number.
It's 161 now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But ultimately, this team's going to ride or die with their pitching staff. I mean, I think that there is improvements to the offense. We saw them increase their opportunities. Yesterday might have looked boring to some extent for the first 6-7 innings because there wasn't any runs scored. And yet you're going against, I mean, opening day, you're going to have both teams throwing their ace out there. It's going to be difficult to kind of push some runs across. The Mariners had a couple opportunities. I think Kelnick had one AB where it was his first AB, where they ended up in the middle of the AB, got a guy to third base with less than 2 outs, and then he ended up kind of punching out on a pitch that he thought was inside. I didn't see it because I couldn't tell from where I was sitting whether or not it was in or not. But there was that one. J.P. Crawford had another big situation where he could have driven in a guy with the infield in, less than 2 outs, and he rolled over a ground ball, and Kelnick was kind of stranded there at second. And so you ended up needing Ty France to launch one, either find a gap and score somebody, or he ended up hitting it over the wall with that Oppo Taco. So it was they figured out a way to do it, but you're right. It was ultimately they were kept in the game by Luis Castillo being dominant, Brash being dominant. Munoz ended up – Sewald comes out there and does his job too, doesn't give up any hits, but – and then Munoz kind of gave up a couple knocks and made it interesting at the end, but still ended up figuring out a way to get out of it. And that's just the way you kind of drew it up. I am certain that Scott Servais, Jerry DePoto, Pete Woodworth, they thought, okay, if we can go out there and get 6 out of Julio where he kind of keeps us in it, whether it's, you know, 1-2 runs or 0 works, and then go Brash, Sewald, Munoz, lock that thing down. It's just the way they drew it up, the way that they were planning on winning ball game. So that's one of them.
Yeah, and one of my favorite moments with Luis Castillo last night, here's some more hardcore analysis. When he throws his pitch, kind of loses balance, swings his leg around, and then comes back on like in a lunge with the fist up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if that is not your new signature move, but also please don't like turn your knee.
Yeah.
But I'm going to work on that. That's my goal by the end of the season. I will be able to do that move.
Really?
Yeah, notice I'm giving myself till the end of the season.
So you're going to throw probably a 98 mile an hour sinker?
That's the part I'm not going to do.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to act like
four
I threw seamer. Something.
98 four.
Yeah, four yeah, seamer. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was thinking of working on my slider, but.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, if that's your out pitch, go ahead and do that. I was figuring you more of just a let it eat, you know, go get them, attack hitters, and then do the spin into the finishing
into the
move
fist.
Pose.
Yeah. I thought about just going fastball because I'm really good at that. But then I'm not as good as Andrés Muñoz with the 103 mile an hour fastball.
No, you're like only 101.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's going to be embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
If I'm not as fast.
Well, you know, don't try to live up to Muñoz. I mean, I'll be impressed if you, you know, blow hundo by somebody, okay, and then later on catch one with your ponytail.
Okay. Oh, I'm gonna have to grow.
And then some pirouette stone.
Yes, pirouette. This is okay. Yeah, this is getting more complicated, but I'm up for the challenge.
Well, to whom much is given, much is expected, Ash.
By the end of the weekend, I will do a lunge with a fist.
Okay.
We'll start there.
Okay, start there. Okay, cool. Sounds good.
I will say, as we were talking about, obviously pitching was the big story, but not just the pitching. Obviously, the pitch clock. We're going to talk more about our reactions to it, but we did see a pitch clock violation, and it couldn't have happened to a better person, James Karinchak, the Guardians reliever. That guy just has always rubbed me the wrong way. And afterwards, Scott Servais actually had something to say about it, I believe. Is that the sound clip we have, Anders? Durs?
Durs. What was that? Sorry.
The Scott Servais sound clip. What do we have?
Oh, yeah. I just, he welcomed people back to opening day.
Oh, okay.
So, let's get to it right
here. All right.
Welcome to opening day. We are here. We're ready for 2023 starts. I think for us, we need to be who we are. We play with a lot of emotion. We want to have fun. I want to continue to have fun. We had a great time last year. Of course, we're winning a lot of games, but it starts tonight. Go and have a good time. You know, that's what you work all offseason for, all the work you put out in the weight room and adjusting your swing. You get to spring training, and it was a full, long spring training this year. Now it's time to go have fun. Have a good time with your teammates, and we've got plenty of personality on this team, and I want to see the guys smiling and have a good time.
I think they definitely had fun. The 3-0 win helps, obviously, but this team is something special, and they are embracing the city, and the city is embracing this team, and it's, you can feel the energy everywhere. I mean, this year is a different kind of buzz than we have had, and mm-hmm. It's so welcome because we haven't had this in a long time.
Right, and there's still so far to go that it's understandable. Some people are going to have doubt. Some people are going to be all in. I ended up at the end of our show yesterday saying, you know, and I'm not, well, I guess I did predict this is they're going to win the World Series.
Yep.
It's just there's so much that has to go into it. It's just basically that's pointing out, I think that the offense is upgraded enough to take some pressure off of the pitching staff at times. And yet I think the pitching staff is so good, mm-hmm. even improved upon from last year,
yep.
that there's going to be times where you only need to score one or two or three runs and end up doing it because I think the pitching staff is that good. And so the fact that I've been on so many teams that have talent and yet not everybody's rowing in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this guy that's up for a contract or there's this guy that's irritated that so-and-so's playing more than he is. And next thing you know, you kind of start to feel the separation. And then one turns into kind of a cancer over in the corner. And then he will, you know, misery loves company. And so if there's somebody else that didn't get in the playing time or they're having a bad season, next thing you know, they start to kind of glob together. And this team does not have that. I mean, we saw last year they found a way, even though they didn't start out all that well, got hot there before the All-Star break, ride that momentum, get to the playoffs, and then play tough. I mean, win a series in Toronto and then play the guys, the team that ended up going on to win it, playing them tough. I mean, down to the wire, could have went either way. I mean, this team knows they can beat anybody out there. And mm-hmm. so now it's just a matter of, okay, let's just be consistent day in and day out, and you're going to come out on top more often than not. And then once this team gets in the playoffs, that's where mine goes. They might not win the AL West. They right. might not have the best record or the most wins in baseball. As a matter of fact, I don't think they will be okay. the most winningest team. And yet, I don't think, health provided, I don't think that there's anybody that could even think about sleeping on this team come playoff time.
No,
and so you get into
not.
A series, I have a hard time thinking anybody's going to be throwing better guys out there and then having a team that kind of all rows in the same direction like this one does.
Well, and I don't think I know you're not the only one that thinks that. MLB Network yesterday put out a thing that was showing all their hosts and contributors predicting who they thought would be in the World Series or win the World Series, and I did see a Mariners in there winning the World Series. So, just saying,
I'm not the only idiot.
You're not the only really smart person.
That's right.
Part of our morning after segment is that we're going to make predictions for tonight's game, but I also have to follow the clock, and we're going to be late
okay.
if we do that. So we're going to come back and make our predictions for tonight's game, and then we're going to kind of keep track all season whose predictions come true and whose don't. So we'll be right back with that right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the Final Four.
The Final Four.
Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
The Final Four.
Now it's time to go fun. Now it's time to go fun. Now it's time to go fun.
Now it's time to go fun.
He obviously meant to say that's now it's time to go have some fun, but I kind of like the now it's time to go fun.
Yeah, I do like that.
I'm ready. You ready?
Of course I'm ready to go have. No, wait.
To go fun?
To go fun.
You ready to go fun?
Hard to
yeah,
not say
go
it.
Fun.
It is Ashley Ryan, Bucky Jacobson, and Durs Anders Dimples.
Durs Dimples. We did not even ask, by the way, real quick. Did you get in trouble for cheering for the Guardians at all in the press box?
Well, first of all, you're not supposed to cheer.
Well,
because you're supposed to be an unbiased, coverer of the,
right.
Of the
right.
game. Right.
Yeah,
so.
But you're not supposed to.
But did you give
cheer
like,
for
did
you give Argentina?
Like, in, little either. Napoleon Dynamite, yes, when we'd strike out.
No. Okay. I'm a Mariners fan.
Oh,
just
really?
Making sure, because
yeah.
I thought you were an
more
American
than,
too.
More than U.S.
Yeah, oh, well, I'm a Mariners fan more than the U.S. fan. Yeah.
Okay, so he likes Argentina and
really
the
weird.
Mariners. I
you
get
know
that
where
though.
Seattle is right.
I do.
What
yeah.
What country it's in?
Yeah.
Argentina.
Close.
Yeah, it's pretty
no,
close.
No, it's not.
Pretty close.
Okay, sorry about that.
So. Our new segment, we're introducing Mariners the Morning After. It is basically a morning baseball's best postgame show, like mm-hmm. a recap of last night. You heard the Ty France highlight in the last segment. You heard Scott Servais telling us, let's go fun. And we discussed the pitching from last night. But part of the segment, too, is that we are going to make predictions for tonight's game. And then we will keep track throughout the season. Chuck is going to keep track, not me. So he will keep track throughout the season of how many we get right. And then from there, I don't know, we'll give someone a high five, I suppose, at the end.
I love high fives.
Yeah, it's kind of everybody's favorite thing. So, Bucky, we're going to start with you and your prediction for tonight's game.
All right. Now, this could really backfire on me if, not sure yet who Cleveland is throwing out there. And yet, if Kelnick's in the game, which I think Kelnick should be in the game, he went 1-for-3 and swiped a bag. I'm going to go ahead and say Kelnick gets another knock.
Okay.
And steals another bag. He was chomping at the bit. He gets on, he watches one pitch from first base, and he was gone, and he swiped that bag easily. I have a feeling that we know how bad he wants to win. You can see it written all over his face. He wants to perform, not just so that he is, gets to kind of have the glory of being how good he's supposed to be. But he wants to do it for Seattle. He wants to show all of us, hey, look what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ends up punching out his first AB and then gets that kind of rollover knock that last year would have been an out with a shift.
Yeah.
Gets that rollover knock, and then he's on first base, and it's a 0-0 ball game. If you have speed, you want to get into scoring position, and he was gone. I mean, obviously it's second pitch, but you could tell he wanted to go even on the first pitch, and he snipers that thing. I have a feeling, he's going to get another knock. And
yeah.
I think when he gets on base, he might lead the team in stolen bases this year.
And if you're Jared Kelnick, he had a ball that went all the way to the wall. I mean, if that Marine layer wasn't there, man, that could have been
that
gone.
Thing.
Are you feeling good after your first game? Do you feel like maybe he's probably thinking, okay, that was successful. I didn't do anything crazy, but I had a hit. I had a steal. I contributed.
Yeah. Yeah,
some of that pressure is off a little bit?
To some degree. I mean, he's got to, if he's riding too high on a 1-for-3 and looks up the scoreboard and he's hitting, look at me, I'm hitting 333, then you're taking too much, you're giving too much credit to too little of the work at this point in time. And yet, it's better than going over, right?
Well,
just it's better than going up there. I mean, after his first AB, I'm sitting there watching, he comes up for his second AB, and the beautiful scoreboard they have out there in center field. And it's got your face and your numbers, and it says what you've done your last AB. And it just strikeout looking, it says.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, we don't need to rub that in this dude's face, right? You know what I mean? Just say struck out.
Yeah.
But they're just giving as much detail as possible. And yet it was one of those, come on, kid. I want him to get off to a good start so he doesn't start to do what we've seen him do before, which is put extra pressure on himself and all of a sudden struggle a little bit. So 1-for-3 is a good step in that mm-hmm. direction. But ultimately, if he hasn't figured out yet, doesn't matter if you went 0-for, doesn't matter if you went 3-for-3 or 4-for-4 yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did. What you have to figure out is take this first month as a chunk, and at the end of this first month, go back and look at it. Because if you just take one AB and it's negative, and you carry that to the next AB, it's counterproductive. If you take something good and you think too highly, oh wow, I smashed that one, or oh wow, I got a hit finally. then that's counterproductive. It's just kind of got to ride that even keel type of thing. And I think that he's figured that out to some extent. And yet I kind of still want to give him a boost. Like, I want him to get off to a good start.
Yeah.
So we don't got to worry about him falling back into that.
And I think a lot of Mariner fans are with you. I know we talked about that last night in our house, how much we want him to have a great season. And really just for him, he just seems like he deserves it. He needs it.
Yeah.
Durs.
Yo.
Sorry. What is your prediction for tonight?
I'm going to keep this pretty simple. I think Robbie Ray goes at least 7 innings. I think we used 3 of our big bullpen arms, not to say we don't have any left, but I think we're going to kind of expect him to have a pretty good full start today. And I was really impressed with JP yesterday and his at-bats. You know, getting on base, you got a walk. I think he got a hit as well. So I'm looking for him to get an RBI tonight, a ribby, because he's bad.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know
two
if he'll be in ninth.
There. I like that.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be in the same nine hole as he was last night, but he'll have an opportunity, I'm sure, with the guys that are batting before him, and I think he's going to come up big. So
okay.
I'm excited for him this season.
I like that. I like that prediction, and I like that you did, too. That was very bold of you. I also am going to make a prediction with Robbie Ray. I think he's going to strike out 8.
Oh.
Yeah.
There we go.
Going for 8 strikeouts from Robbie Ray. No cowboy hat on the mound. But, you know.
8 strikeouts and 6 2/3. So Nurse boy over here doesn't get his first projection.
Okay.
Prediction.
All right. I see how it is.
Yeah. There you go.
So how tight are his pants, though? That's the real question.
They're looser this year.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not as tight. That's why he's going to have a great season. Because we saw from Karinchak last night, the tighter the pants, the crappier you are at pitching.
that's
a direct correlation.
That might have been my problem.
That's why you weren't a good pitcher.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
That's probably it. All right. We are going to discuss some of the what really everybody's been talking about with opening day, and that is the new rules and how they affected things once we actually saw it in a real game in person, on TV, whatever. But we're in a game that actually counted. We're going to talk about that and more coming up next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.